to the program. I'm your host, Nadia Shamsuddin, and we have a very esteemed guest with us today, Dr. Clovis Maksoud, and we will be discussing what is happening in Gaza and the humanitarian crisis that has been created there by Israel's closure of Gaza. Ambassador Clovis Maksoud is presently a professor of international relations and director of the Center for the Global South at the American University in Washington, D.C. A lawyer, journalist, and diplomat, Dr. Maksoud served as the Arab League ambassador to India and Southeast Asia in the early 1960s. Dr. Maksoud is the author of several articles and books on the Middle East. Clovis Maksoud was the chairman and convener of many conferences on environmental development, human rights, population, and disarmament. Dr. Maksoud graduated from the University of Beirut and went on to receive his JD from George Washington University in D.C., doing his postgraduate studies at Oxford. Good morning, Dr. Maksoud.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show.
Oh, it's a privilege. Thank you very much for inviting me.
I want to give our listeners a brief background about Gaza and what has been happening there in recent months that has brought about this tragedy. Gaza is arguably the most densely populated strip of land in the world, with over 1 million people in about 130 square miles. Can you give us a little more? Well, okay, there you go. It's worse than I thought. Can you give us more background on in what's going on there, especially since Israel pulled out a few years ago?
Well, the question is, the description of pulling out is more precise than withdrawal, because it pulls out and pulls back in, as it has done frequently. The present crisis is the result of the elections that took place in 2005, when Hamas won the elections, formed the government in a national unity government with the Fatah group. After the election of Hamas, Israel, having treated Hamas as if it's a terrorist organization, actually in the same manner that it has treated Fatah, the other organization which is now running the West Bank, as a terrorist organization. And in a way, what you hear today, the Israeli and sometimes the United States official description of Hamas is more or less an echo of what we used to hear in the 80s and early 90s about Fatah, that it was a terrorist organization with Yasser Arafat not allowed to the United Nations in 1989 because he represented a terrorist organization which made the Arab League at that time, when I was ambassador there, to move the General Assembly of the United Nations to Geneva in order to protect the integrity, the legal integrity of the United Nations. So, after the elections and of Hamas, immediately the Israelis and the quartet, which is European Union and the Secretary General of the United Nations, imposed a siege on the Gaza Strip.
Well, we have to take our first break now, Dr. Maksoud. We'll be right back. Stay with us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. Space Program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. Submarine Service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
And welcome back to the program. We're talking with Dr. Clovis Maksud about what's been going on down in Gaza. And Dr. Maksud, right before the break, we were talking about the elections in 05, but you mentioned something about the Geneva Convention, and I wanted to point out how the Palestinians seem to be exempt from the benefits of that.
Well, they are they're deliberately exempt.
Deliberately by Israel is my point. Yes.
First of all, under the Geneva Convention and under international law, under all the United Nations resolutions, the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem are considered occupied territories, and the administration of occupied territories is bound to be compliant with the Geneva Convention, especially the third and fourth aspects of the Geneva Convention, which does not allow an occupying power to alter the demographic or the geographic character of the occupied territories. Now, this has been consistently violated by Israel by establishing settlements, which are treated in international law and by the United Nations as illegal. It has altered the geographic character of the occupied territories, first by unilaterally annexing Jerusalem, two, by building circumventing roads, some for the Jews and others for the Palestinians inside the territories. And when the elections took place, prompted by the United States to have an elections in the Gaza and West Bank, people chose Hamas. Not because they are either Islamic fundamentalists or others, but because they wanted to have a culture of resistance against corruption and against the occupation. They elected Hamas, encouraged by the United States to have an elections, and then the outcome did not suit either Israel or the United States, so they immediately established a siege on and thrust and suffocated continuously for the last year and a half, suffocated the Palestinian people in Gaza. In this respect, the last explosion of population wanting to eat, wanting to have electricity, they went and broke the Rafah bar between Egypt and the Gaza Strip. It is this explosion of frustration that led to this mass movement into the Rafah to buy and purchase all sorts of food, medicines, etc., that on the one hand embarrassed Egypt because it sort of made Egypt as if it is supporting the Gazans, and that made Israel rather upset with Egypt. And it has proven that the peace treaty between Egypt and Israel had absolutely no impact on deterring Israel from its continued annexation of territories, establishing settlements, etc. Now, because of this split, because of this very dangerous escalation of suffering on the one hand, of intermittent and sporadic resistance acts by Hamas, all these cumulative effects have led to and prompted President Bush to have what is called a vision of the new two Palestinian states. Annapolis took place, and then when he visited Israel and the West Bank, it was obvious that the vision of the two states were not exactly two viable states. One was an empowered state, namely Israel, because he said that occupation should end, he said, however, it should reflect the new demographic situation in the West Bank, which means that the settlements that are in the West Bank have to be part of the new Israel. That means the expanded Israel and the truncated Palestinian state, which removes these areas of settlements. Now, of course, they did say also, to be fair, that the illegal settlements, that Israel did not give them the legal right to establish settlements, should be removed. Now, the illegal settlements are only, if not more than 2% of the population of settlers. That means that the other settlements, the big settlements, are legal in the eyes of Israel and therefore in the eyes of the two-state vision of President Bush. In that respect, what we had is a truncated Palestinian state, a new population dimension in the new state of Palestine, if it ever emerges, and the definition of Israel as a state for the Jews and the Palestinians a state for the Palestinians. However,
well, you bring up two issues that I did want to talk about, and one was Egypt and the two-state solution. But I wanted to go back for just a moment, if we could. I want to bring our listeners up to date and be sure everybody understands what has been happening there. Israel has been halting fuel deliveries into Gaza. in order to exact collective punishment on the Palestinians because of Hamas firing rockets into Israeli towns. Now, people are desperate for food and supplies, so Hamas demolished segments of the wall that Israel erected between Gaza.
The people.
And this is what's, and the UN workers estimate, as reported by AP, that the UN workers estimate roughly 350,000 Palestinians crossed over into Egypt to buy food, fuel, and other life necessities. Now, personally, in my years of observation, I do not think collective punishment or sanctions ever work, because civilians suffer, and the people that are creating what is perceived by the other side as a grievance, they can go on functioning and doing whatever they want. So the Palestinian people at large are suffering beyond our imagination in this country. We cannot even imagine what it would be like to be cut off from all necessities. And I've been there in January and February, and it's very cold. And so they're without heat and without fuel and without food. And when people are desperate, they take desperate measures. What do you think, how long do you think that this crisis can go on before something major happens, and could it have a wider impact on the region?
That is why I was trying to give a context to the causes that has led to the what I call the explosion of frustration that
yes.
led to the 350,000 Gazans moving in and breaking the barriers between the Egyptian and the Gaza regions, and that and the consequences, that the debilitating consequences that have been taking place since the siege. At the beginning, it was more or less gradual, then it became suffocating, besides the target killing, besides the other matters by Israel designating Gaza as enemy territory, and therefore trying to confirm a split between the Palestinian peoples, the people in the West Bank and the people in Gaza, and the fact that there was this humanitarian tragedy. This is what I might call, through the series of acts of violence that took place through the target killing, through the killing of many children and women, etc., during this whole past year, was a form, and this, now I know that this might shock some people, the statement that I'm going to just to make, Holocaust by installments.
Mm.
And therefore,
yeah.
it is paradoxical, and I think that many people in Israel who constitute the constituency of conscience within Israel realizes the moral damage to their spiritual experience and to the pioneering experience that they had at the beginning. And therefore, I feel that it is absolutely crucial that, first of all, the right of return to the Palestinian right to return is an inalienable right, in the same way that if we keep on saying that that is a state for the Jews, that means the ingathering of the Jews and the denial of the right of return for the Palestinian refugees, that is more or less creating new problems in the neighborhood, where in Lebanon and Syria and in Jordan, where bulk of refugees are denied totally the right of return, and might create demographic explosions in these respective countries along all sorts of pretexts.
Well, and now Egypt is getting some pressure to resolve the problem. Israel has been suggesting now that it was, in fact, the Israeli foreign minister spokesman said that once Gaza, the people from Gaza are getting supplies from somewhere else, then Israel, well, we don't need to provide them with anything. They're getting their stuff from Egypt.
The contempt that is demonstrated by such statements.
Yes, we're going to take a quick break.
Sorry?
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back, and I want to pick up here and talk about Egypt's response. We'll be right back.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
And we're back talking with Dr. Clovis Maksud about the human tragedy occurring now in Gaza. And Dr. Maksud, before the break, we were getting into the issue of Egypt. And I just wanted to read something briefly. The Undersecretary of State, Nicholas Burns, is in Tel Aviv. And he said that while Hamas itself was to blame for the shortages in the Gaza, it was for Egypt to restore order, saying, obviously, it's going to be up to the Egyptian government to bring under control the situation along the border. What do you make of that?
Well, it is unfortunate that Secretary Burns, just before he's leaving, should be repeating such provocative statements, actually. What he's trying to do is that while you might say on a superficial level that the hundreds of thousands of Gazans who went into Arish and others violated the borders, but they did it in a manner that they were on the verge of a collective suffocating experience in their lives. It was sort of, as I mentioned, it's a form of Holocaust by installments. So they break through to a country which is also part of the Arab nation, part of the Egypt, which is, and therefore it put Egypt, of course, in the dilemma. And in order that the United States wants to enforce the peace treaty between Egypt and Israel by more or less saying that Egypt should restore order, which means that it should police the suffering of the people without addressing it. Egypt cannot do that. Egypt, although technically it might be, according to the treaty, responsible to enforce, would not do it because it would create inside Egypt a growing protest and more and more sympathy and support with the Gazan people. And in the final analysis, whatever might be the obligations under the treaty that Egypt has, it would remain. Its priority, loyalty, is for the Palestinian people. Now, how does it reconcile this priority with its obligations under the treaty and with its attempt to respond to America's, the United States, enforcement measures on the issue? I think that is disingenuous on the part of the Undersecretary of State to ask Egypt, under the circumstances of the deliberate provocations of Israelis, siege and measures that it took against the Gazan people and the collective punishment that it has stated, and not to understand the absolute humanitarian conditions that led to the breakthrough of the wall, which even Egypt, the government of Egypt, has responded wisely instead of taking military and policing measures against them.
Well, internally, Mubarak has had intense public pressure to help alleviate the suffering. And externally, he's been getting pressure from Israel and the U.S. To deal with it. So he's under a lot of strain right now. What do you think the U.N. will do ultimately?
Well, unfortunately, the U.N. Secretary General, being part of the quartet, which itself has imposed the siege on Gaza, I think that was one of the major, almost, I would say, catastrophic undermining of the role of the Secretary General of the United Nations as the custodian of the various resolutions of the United Nations, which he's supposed to be the protector of them, by foregoing this role and becoming a member of the quartet which imposed the siege on Gaza a year and a half ago, means that he is a partner in the siege, and that is not the role of the United Nations. He is the custodian of the various resolutions, even those that are not immediately applicable, even those which are dubbed as unrealistic. He is in charge of them, and he should be withdrawn from the quartet. And I think this is something that now many of the Arab countries and many of their people are going to... what the United States is doing by asking Egypt to be an enforcement instrumentality against the siege, in favor of the siege, I mean, is really breeding and reconfirming the division between people and governments in many parts of the Arab world, and that is something that genuine moderate Arabs would like to avoid. They would like to have a continued civil rights movement and national rights to be addressed of the Palestinian people before it becomes too late and before the polarization of co-opted Palestinians versus extremist Palestinians. Co-opted Arab governments versus the growth of extremism. And therefore, it is necessary that the United States reevaluate its policies on the Middle East and realize.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
And Dr. Maksud, I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Sometimes the commercials come in so quickly upon
us.
Yeah, we were talking about the UN, and you know there are UN workers on the ground there. Do you know if they are being allowed access to deliver humanitarian relief?
They are, but not as it ought to be. I mean, the level is the minimal capacity, and the circumstances are difficult, but I think that they are committed. The group of UNRWA and other humanitarian are committed, but they know about the difficulties, they know about the obstructions, and they have not been able to carry what they want to carry on and what their commitment is in the same way that it used to be. And that is part due to the continued deliberate plans of interruption that Israel does on the flow of humanitarian goods.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you about Bush's recent trip. You did mention that earlier. I'm just curious about the timing of it and how things were brought to a head here and exploded just after he had been there. You think there's a correlation?
Well, I mean, the language borderless emboldened Israel to be much more defiant, and he has acquiesced or accepted in a way the definition that Israel wants to impose on the various territories. One is that Gaza Strip is enemy territory, is a belligerent territory, and that Israel is the home for the Jews, therefore making a demographic, further demographic growth of Israel and diminishing demographic growth by denial of the right of return and by the fact that he defined the state of the Jews as reflecting the new demographic order that obtains in the West Bank. There is nearly 465,000 new settlers in the occupied territories, including East Jerusalem, and where there is no clear-cut definition of what the fate of Jerusalem is. I mean, and that is so central to the Palestinian cause and to the Arab cause and to the Islamic world. And in that respect, I think that the visit, which was intended to market two states, end of occupation, words that are correct, but their interpretation was definitely a negation of their relevance.
Well, speaking of the talking points of the two-state solution that's being proposed, the status of Jerusalem, how do they address that?
They didn't address it. It was...
Well, I mean, it's one of the most...
They might have addressed it in the bilateral discussions that took place between Israel, Prime Minister Olmert, and President Bush. But as we see the results unraveling at the moment, they were not discussed in a manner as a definition of the outcome, because you cannot negotiate seriously and determine the steps if you don't have a vision, a concrete vision of the outcome, namely Israel's withdrawal from the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem, and the emergence of two-state system in accordance to the summit decision of the Arab League, where they said total withdrawal and therefore total normalization, diplomatic normalization between all the Arab states and Israel. Israel keeps circumventing that by creeping annexations in the West Bank, by the open declaration that all Jerusalem is there, by the expansion of the territory of Jerusalem into the West Bank to be defined as Greater Jerusalem, and the most recent, 2 days ago, the mayor of Jerusalem decided to license 5,000 new homes in East Jerusalem. So it is not only the rhetoric that is important, it is what is taking place on the ground. And what we have seen is that Israel tries to say that these things that come into Sederet, which are so intermittent, so primitive, and so inconsequential, to blow them out of proportion and justify their deliberate massive killing and target killing in the Gaza Strip, this disproportionality, while the United States condemns what happens in Sederet and does not even utter a word of condemnation on the massive killings that are taking place in the Gaza Strip.
Well, I wanted to ask you one more thing about Jerusalem. Do you think that Jerusalem will be a deal breaker in when it comes to talks about a two-state solution?
Unfortunately, there are many deal breakers.
Yeah.
One is definitely Jerusalem, because if there's no East Jerusalem for the Palestinians as their capital of a sovereign state, which includes Gaza, East West Bank, and East Jerusalem, there is no Palestine. there is no Palestine. And to make Abu Dhabi or something like that as a fictional capital is really not only a historical insult to the Christian and Muslim world, it is a total abdication of a state. In South Africa, during the apartheid period, Transkei was called a state. But it was not a state in the real sovereign prerogatives. In this case, there won't be any sovereign prerogatives for a Palestinian state. You can call it a Palestinian empire. It doesn't have the viability of a sovereign state. A sovereign state of Palestine would enable it to resolve in a large way the refugee problem, because sovereign prerogatives bestow upon refugees a citizenship. Therefore, they don't become a political trigger force of destabilization in Lebanon, for example, or in Syria or in Jordan. Yet, that is not even in the tenets of the vision of President Bush of a Palestinian state as it was demonstrated. So, Jerusalem is central. That is a deal breaker. The right of return is definitely a deal breaker, although it is being dismissed as unrealistic.
Are you hopeful that we'll get to a two-state solution? Do you think we'll ever see that?
Well, let us see if the results of the elections in the United States. This is an adventure. If the results of the elections corrects the whole damage that has been made, especially the damage made by the neoconservatives in derailing the legitimacy of a war in Afghanistan because of September 11th by targeting Iraq, as it has been proven under completely distorted and false evidence,
Then
I think the new administration might be more of a listener to some of the basic complaints of the Palestinians, of the Arabs, about the bias, albeit that while Israel, for the United States, is a major foreign policy issue, it is also a very major domestic policy issue. And therefore, the Arabs are realistic enough to know this equation, but they would probably want to move a little bit more into a more rational, especially that in the Democratic Party, there are much more elements who are sensitive to the priority and the primacy of human development issues, of human rights issues, in a genuine sense, and of national rights issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was one question I was
thinking, maybe? No, I don't think so. But it is a feasible breakthrough that can be restoring a form of a dialogue.
When will there be elections next in Israel? When are they going to elect a prime minister next?
Well, supposedly in 2009, but at this moment we have to wait for the release of the Winograd thing about the war that took place against Lebanon in 2006, and perhaps the further weakening of a weak Mr. Olmert, and also the growing perception of many of the Palestinians, even in the West Bank and among the Fatah, of the cooptability of the Palestinian Authority by the United States and Israel. And that is a very serious flaw in the Annapolis process, because it is envisaged as a peace process without peace. And for the last 15 years, Oslo Agreement, which was marketed as a great breakthrough in the negotiating process, we see that it has led to more annexation of Jerusalem, more settlements, and more violence in the region.
Well, the reason I brought up elections in Israel, because there are rumors that Netanyahu and the Likud could come back. And if that's the case, after having had such a weak period of rule under Olmert's term, A lot of people feel like any progress that could have been made on Olmert's watch will be completely undone if the Likud comes back into power. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, Barak did not show much more flexibility in the recent weeks than Netanyahu. So we have an establishment. Of course, one would doesn't know how to sugarcoat the Zionist project in Palestine. The other one knows how to do it, whether it's labor or others, especially Peres. And so we are in a difficult dilemma. There must be a complete reassessment by the United States to render many of these palatable resolutions that the United Nations has taken on the Palestinian question credible and enforceable, instead of treating them as if they're totally irrelevant and marginal and inconsequential. This contempt for the United Nations resolutions pertaining to Palestine, as if they are just rhetorical resolutions that have no impact or consequence, has been characteristic one of the Israelis in both parties, and also, unfortunately, by many of the American permissiveness towards Israel's interpretation of these resolutions. And that led to the violation of international law, to escalation of violence, and to the proliferation of settlers and settlements.
Well, let's mention a couple of those resolutions that Israel has ignored, just to inform our listeners of a short list of some of the ones that have been passed that Israel has not complied with. What are two or three of the ones that are of most concern to you?
Right of return, Jerusalem is considered illegal and illegitimate, and the establishment of settlements, which is a clear violation of the Jews, and the non-admission of Israel as an occupying power where all the resolutions of the United Nations, whether in the Security Council or in the General Assembly, and especially the opinion, the not only majority, the dear unanimous opinion of the International Court of Justice, which stated that the wall inside the West Bank is illegal, it's a violation of the Geneva Convention, and it should be thrown away. So that all these are completely unenforceable, and at least some of them should be enforced. United Nations resolutions concerning any other country, the United States is eager to enforce them. Concerning Palestine, they are out of sight.
Absolutely. We've seen that for a long time. Are you hopeful that a regime change in the U.S. is going to help bring about an effort toward a
I don't think it's a regime change, but I think it's a change of direction. It is much more sensitive to the disempowered in the Third World in general, what I call the Global South. It is, in that sense, more disposed to listen. The yearnings, and it is more in consonance with the political tempo of wanting human development and removing the obstacles to it, as we have discovered in the team of the who published with the UNDP the Arab Human Development Reports, which was welcomed by the United States, thinking that that would be an instrument, but which was really found that Israel, as well as the are serious obstructions to the human capacity to have sustainable development throughout the Arab world.
Well, I'll share with you a couple of thoughts that I have, and then we're going to go to a quick break. But in order for, what it sounds like you're saying is, in order for there to be a two-state solution, first and foremost, these UN resolutions have to be complied with by Israel. And after that, once the Palestinians attain political autonomy, it becomes more difficult in some ways for Israel to marginalize the Palestinians. They'll try other means of doing it aside from these direct sanctions on them and cutting them off from food and fuel and starvation and privation. And I'm a skeptic, Dr. Maksud. I've seen this for so long. I want the Palestinian people to have hope for autonomy, but sometimes I wonder, because it's subject to other world powers putting pressure on Israel to comply with UN resolutions, I wonder sometimes if we're ever going to see that. It would take quite a revolution in thought. We're going to take one quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to safecastleroyal.com. That's safecastleroyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code, or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
And thank you, Stan. So I wanted to give out our number if any of you in the listening audience wanted to jump in and ask one quick question. Our number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And just before we went to the break, Dr. Maksud, I was giving you my sort of pessimistic view of the situation, considering all of the elements that would have to come into play in order for a successful two-state solution. But I wanted to ask you, what do you see next happening? What do you think Israel will do next? What do you think Hamas is going to do next now in Gaza?
Well, let me, although I might share a great deal of the skepticism in the very foreseeable future, however, Palestinians' resilience has always demonstrated at peaks of depression that they can reinvigorate their conditions. It was done in the first intifada, in a way in the second intifada, and what happened in the last 2 days by women at the beginning, first day, the women breaking through, climbing up the wall, etc., was extraordinary demonstration of course, of frustration, but of the vitality that they can take things into their own hands if they are challenged by permanent impotency. And that is a sign of vitality, a sign of commitment. Now, it is true that sometimes many mistakes are done, many unnecessary events take place. Yet the mainstream exhibition of this vitality should not let us resign to despair. And I think that was demonstrated. And in that respect, I would like that while I share the skepticism, the complexity, it is necessary that we keep thinking of managing complexity. Otherwise, we are doomed to all of us, United States, the regional powers, etc., will be doomed to manage chaos as we are seeing in Pakistan and other places.
Well, I agree with you. We do need to continue to work for peace, and sometimes I long for the days of the dialogue of Hanan Eshraoui and James Baker, but perhaps we can look to a possible change in Washington that will be in favor of some of the things that just have to change in the West Bank and Gaza.
Thank you very much.
And I appreciate your time today. You've been very informative, and I'd love to have you back on the show sometime because this is going to be a never-ending story. And people do need to stay informed of what's going on in the Middle East. I think sometimes Americans think that what goes on there doesn't affect me here in the U.S., but in fact it very much does. And so we hope that you'll come back on the show again sometime and share some of your insights. And it was a real joy to speak with you today, and I appreciate your coming on the show.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate your invitation.
And that's it for today. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow morning. Stay tuned. Have a good day.
With recent international flight